bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We've got Greg Barnes on the phone. Greg is an advocate. He's a barrister. He's an advocate for asylum seekers. That's, you know, amongst many things. And we're going to talk about the closure of Manus Island, even though no date has been set, and a bit of an update on how the government's handling offshore detainees. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning.
Minister Dutton has announced that the government is going to close Manus Island. No date set. Papua New Guinea government, you know, I think they're a bit surprised. But are they serious? Or is this just a ruse to stop people talking about Manus Island? Because he'll then say, oh, look, you know, we're going to close it, so let's just move on.
Well, I think it's the latter. And in fact, the PNG Supreme Court on the 26th of April ordered that the unlawful detention of detainees on Manus Island cease and that Manus Island Immigration Centre be closed. The Australian government has seen fit to do nothing about the closure and left it all to PNG. And it's only because of the appalling press that it's been getting in relation to Nauru that it adopted what I think was a very cynical ruse this week in saying that it wanted to close Manus Island. It has been compelled to close Manus Island and should have done so at the end of April.
Why is it, Greg, and it's sort of almost a rhetorical question, but, you know, why does the government, you know, Manus Island, you know, the Papua New Guinea Supreme Court has said it's got to close. So why has Papua New Guinea not closed it?
Well, this is a joint venture. The agreed statement of facts in the case, in the PNG Supreme Court case, say that this is a joint venture between Australia and the PNG government, and PNG needs the assistance of Australia to close the centre. The PNG government has been treated appallingly by Australia in this particular case. We've had statements from Peter Dutton, the Immigration Minister, saying it's a matter for PNG, which is clearly a lie, because he's had lawyers representing the Australian government sitting in the back of the court along with High Commission officials on every day of sitting. Secondly, as the documents make clear in the case, it is a joint venture between PNG and Australia.
Yeah. For those of us who don't support offshore detention, this is such a distressing situation, you know, that we, as Australians, are treating people in this way.
That's right.
And taking advantage of a government and a country that, you know, we deserve to treat them better, particularly considering, you know, it was the only effective colony Australia had. You know, we should be treating Papua New Guinea better and showing a bit more respect. History of Manus Island in the Second World War as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that the Australian government needs to treat the PNG courts with more respect. It was a very compelling judgment. It indicated that these people had been detained against their will, forced to Manus Island. It was damning of the Australian government's conduct. And there's just been an ignoring of the issue, in part by the Australian media, which has suddenly woken up to the fact that the PNG court proceedings have been going for some months. But, I mean, you rightly say the treatment of PNG has been appalling on the part of the Australian government in the sense that this was a former colony of Australia. We've just simply used it for a domestic political problem, as we've used Nauru. We've thrown buckets of cash and thought that that would solve the problem, and, of course, it hasn't.
Greg, it's Tennille here. I think one of the things that has really struck me as well is that the closure, whilst I've seen a lot of people celebrating that through Facebook and other mediums, the real critical issue is actually the treatment of those people. So,
well, that's right.
Yeah, we've got two problems there. One is that we have people there right now. Where are they going to go? And the second part is that there's been no discussion about what's going to be different. I mean, obviously there's going to be another facility set up somewhere. And is there going to be any different? Because the issue has always been the treatment.
Well, the treatment has been universally condemned.
Yep.
Doctors, not just lawyers, but doctors, other health professionals, teachers, no one except the Australian government and the Department of Immigration thinks that the treatment of asylum seekers is anything other than cruel and unusual punishment and torture as defined by the United Nations. Secondly, in relation to Manus Island, those detainees, the 1,100, now have substantial damages claims against the PNG government, possibly up to around $1 billion, because it's for every day of unlawful imprisonment and every day of the breach of their constitutional rights. The calculations done by those that I'm close to up there in the legal team indicates that that is north of $1 billion. The PNG government has said to the Australian government, we can't afford that, so Australia, it could well be on the hook. But in relation to these individuals, the orders that are going to be sought will be that they ought to be allowed to come to Australia. Now, Australia says no, but Australia is acting, again, unlawfully.
So Australia nationally says no, but then most of the states of this country have actually said yes. So exactly at what right. point and, does that actually, you know, does there become any jurisdiction there at the state level?
Well, I think that what's got to happen is that they've got to stop this nonsense that says that, oh, you know, there are people smugglers waiting to ship people out to Australia. We know that boats have been trying to get to Australia. I think there were 28 announced during the election that the government says it's stopped. So, that, you know, the trade has not stopped. But it's not a binary position here. You don't need to treat people inhumanely simply to make the point that you want deterrence on your borders. And that's what's happened here. We think that we should subject children in particular to sexual abuse, physical and mental abuse on a daily basis by virtue of a detention system to make a point about deterrence. And, of course, that's as I say, a binary choice and a choice that ought not be made by a civilised country.
I'm interested, Greg, in your perspective on this. You know, a lot of people, are going to have a very different view about whether we should have offshore detention or not. And we don't want to get into that because I think everyone has a very strongly held view. I'm interested, why do you think it is that the government and the minister and the department, right, assuming that there's a, you know, and I'm not saying there's not, but assuming there's a huge element of truth in the reports about the treatment and what's happening there, what sort of people actually allow people to be treated like that on behalf of Australia? That's what I can't get my head around it.
I don't understand it, and I don't understand how senior people in the Department of Immigration can conduct themselves in this manner, or ministers. We live in a civilised society where people are meant to have, in positions of leadership, are meant to have a moral compass. They've shown absolutely none. They've disgraced the Australian Public Service and the purported values of the Australian Public Service, in my view, in the way that they've allowed this treatment to happen.
Yeah, it's as I said, we can have a debate about whether we should be having offshore detention, but this whole what is happening there, even you know,
the geography is almost irrelevant, isn't it?
Well, that's right.
You know, and you know, you're right that the public service, and you know, the minister, well, you know, he's got form. But the public service, you know, they're supposed to, this is not what they're supposed to be supporting. And, you know, they know what is going on there. And even if only 1% of it is true, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't think I
totally agree, guys. Guys, unfortunately, I've got to head back into a class that I'm
okay, doing. No, we're out of time.
I hate to do that. So, yeah, but, thank you.
Thank you.
It's great that Joy FM's raising the issue, and I agree with the points you've made. And let's hope that we do get a much more civilised debate going forward, and it's important for the debates you're having. So well done.
Thank you, and thanks for your time, Greg. Really appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Greg Barnes. We were discussing Manus Island. Interested in our listeners' views, you know, not about whether we should have offshore detention or not. I mean, I am interested in that. But if only 1% of these reports of these random acts of bastardy and violence and sexual violence and physical violence, mental intimidation,
deprivation,
are true, how can we as a country allow that to happen? How can a minister allow that to happen? How can those officials allow it to happen? How can the companies that are providing services,
how do they get paid,
you know,
if that's happening?
You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm so appalled by this. I'm beyond disgusted. It's that thing, you know, the politics of offshore detention, I understand that. This is the way people are treated. How can we be doing this? We should be so ashamed. We should be so ashamed. And that's not a political statement. That's a moral statement.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.